And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Whew. I mean, it goes from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I'm talking about all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains that we like to call Auburn, straight across the border from there to now what we really like to call Fort Benning once again. And then, oh, by the way, big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Text lines are indeed open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Got a heads up, by the way, for all of you driving in our Huntsville market. Frank from Huntsville just texted and said there's an overturned 18-wheeler at the intersection of 565 and I-65. And it's on the 565 piece. So it's, anyway, the bottom line is traffic can be really jimmied up right now near the 65-565 junction. So y'all be careful. Jeff Rowe from Indiana checking in. He says, hey, Phil, sometimes you don't even need to tell the truth. You just need to say something. This is absurd as they're saying. He said, for instance, if someone comes up to you screaming that Trump's cutting Social Security, you need to tell them that, well, we can't do anything about it because without Trump, the moon would fly away and destroy the earth. And when they look at you like you're insane, you tell them your story has as much validity as theirs. That is quite the tactic, brother. I may have to employ it. Scott from Athens says the psychosis that no one wants to talk about, and he sends me a journal from the Journal of Psychiatry, which I'm not going to have time to open or even read right now. But thank you, Scott. I appreciate that. Let's stay on topic. All right. So I gotta diverge. I'm going to take a moment of personal privilege. Do you mind? Is it all right?
I will allow it.
Mr. President, I'd like a moment of personal privilege.
Permission granted.
Thank you so much. Well played, sir. you may have heard there's been a change in the Trump team. The Trump team, which includes Michael Waltz, former congressman from Florida, former Green Beret, combat veteran, he's now out, apparently. Now, we're told, reports are, that Michael Waltz is out, and keep in mind, it was his team that was the originator of the signal transmissions, signal being the app you can communicate on securely, the signal transmissions that somehow or another included a reporter. That's never been fully explained except as an oops. We're also told that there was no breach of actual classified information, but it was certainly a bad look. It was an awful look. So, what precipitated Michael Waltz being out? Well, we can't say for sure, although we do know that apparently it's not just him, but several members of his team. So that broke about, what, 2 hours ago?
That was around 11 a.m.
Around 11, yep. Central, yeah. So, all right, so 3 hours ago, the word came out. Michael Waltz is out. Trump's already fired him. Michael Waltz has been fired. It's got to be Signalgate. Now I don't know. Because now, in the wake of all of it, you have this. Trump on Truth Social. I am pleased to announce I'll be nominating Mike Waltz to be the next United States Ambassador to the United Nations. Oh, okay. Well, if you have no confidence in his abilities, why did you put him in a place to represent us to the world governments? So this is an interesting dynamic. The question is going to be, what happens with the other members of his team who are allegedly being let go? If they're going with him because that's part of his team, okay. If it's a cleaning of house and this is a way to put him in a sheltered position where he can do no harm, I don't know. We'll see. I don't think the United Nations is near as high profile as being the National Security Advisor, to be honest. You're a little bit outside of the pocket, if you will. You're not going to be the one on the signal chats anymore. You're certainly going to have classified information. You're certainly going to be in a key position. You're certainly going to have the honors of and the trappings of the office. But was it a demotion? Was it a lateral move? Because remember, at least Stefanik was supposed to be the UN ambassador to the United Nations, the ambassador of the United Nations for the U.S. And she actually stepped away from that at Trump's request to maintain her position in Congress because we're so tight on congressional leadership right now. All that to say, I don't know. So here's Phil's thoughts on this. Right now, I would say that Michael Waltz got negative reviews on the Signalgate issue more so than was able to be just cast aside and called a non-issue. I think there's also, to some degree, a sense that, look, that was a really big screw up and we were early and I get it. There was a problem and we don't know how it happened. But somebody please tell me why you even had that reporter's number in your Rolodex. Why did that even happen? And how did it get slipped into the signal? And then why didn't anybody catch it? Why didn't you proofread it? So basically, my thought is he's not going to be national security advisor anymore, but Trump really likes him. And Trump doesn't want to say, I'm casting you aside. Because Trump has a history of casting people aside. Let's be honest. He'll get rid of somebody in a heartbeat. I mean, that's his whole shtick, right? You're fired. So in this case, has he been fired? At the very least, I think, Phil Williams talking, I think that they have at least put him off the side where he can do no harm. That's my thought. You got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Sort of like that was too big of an oops to ignore. However, I really like you, and I think you could be really good, so I'll put you somewhere where you can still be useful. But I can't let what you did, you know, go completely, you know, ignored. But we could be wrong. It could just have been Trump, you know, just simply saying this is an opening and
I got to fill it.
I got to fill it. And Mike Wallace is the perfect guy to fill it. I don't know. It could be one of the two. But I don't think if he was fired for like cause that in the sense of like, I can't even work with you anymore, that he would be at the UN ambassador. So it may have just been, I have to do something, but I still like you kind of move.
Yeah, and by the way, thanks for giving up your role in Congress and, mm-hmm. and supporting me during my campaign and whatever else. And, you know, and I don't know. Like I said, Trump has got a history of being willing to just cast people aside as needed. There are times when I think that didn't do him any favors, truthfully. Jeff Sessions. I still think the world of Jeff Sessions.
Yeah, that was ugly.
That was ugly. That was way ugly. And that was... That if I have any one or two grievances about Donald Trump, one of them is going to be Jeff Sessions, who I get why Trump felt the way he did, but the reaction to it left things in a really bad spot, because Jeff Sessions is still to this day a very popular person, especially in his home state here of Alabama. And I had plenty of time sitting with Jeff Sessions and just talking through all these things, and it was tough. Not going to lie.
Another one for me was Mo Brooks.
And so Mo Brooks. Mo Brooks.
I've always loved Mo Brooks. I think
absolutely.
He's a true conservative, and it's unfortunate that it ended that way, and looks like Mo's out of politics forever now because of that. Maybe not. We'll see. But, yeah, I agree with that.
Well, we'll see what happens. But the bottom line is this. Big news for you today is the Trump administration is making a change already in its top members of the cabinet. The national security advisor is a no fooling position. That's a very key role. Now, by the way, let me say this. Here's one thing that I'm not seeing anybody else say. So I was in the legislature in Alabama when Governor Robert Bentley chose to step down to avoid prosecution. I was there. I was more than in the thick of it. I was deeply enmeshed in all the stuff that went on with all of that what do we do now kind of mode. The guy who was tasked with coming up with the procedures for impeachment was me. I was the one who the means by which the state Senate would impeach a governor are now permanently on file after I helped author them. At the same time, I had a good relationship with Governor Bentley, and I spent time talking to him and just, you know, hearing his side of the story sometimes. All that to say, it is tough when you got to make a change. But I pointed out to a reporter back then, when Bentley stepped down, which was the right thing to do, he needed to step down and avoid the state having to go through the embarrassment of a very... what I would say would be a prurient trial. It would have been filled with salaciousness. He stepped down and the story began to die finally. It was sucking the oxygen out of the room. It was awful. But I pointed out to a reporter, what you just saw was Republicans willing to clean their own house. Because Democrats never do. They never do. Democrats never hold themselves accountable. They don't do squat to do accountability. Think back over the last 4 years, how many jackwagon things happened in the Biden administration and nobody lost their job. Nobody. You had the Secretary of Defense disappear for 5 straight days. They didn't even know he was gone, which was weirdness number one. But number two, he's AWOL, and he went under general anesthesia without having anybody on tap to run the SecDef's office. Didn't lose his job. He's probably going to get a big gig at CNN. Who knows? And then you had, you know, any number of other people, like General Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Massive debacle in Afghanistan. Didn't lose his job. On and on and on I could go. The truth is, Democrats never hold their own people accountable. Republicans do. And so if you're seeing Mike Waltz have to leave for anything other than doing a stellar job, if he's being moved off to the side because of a problem, I will point out to you that would have never happened in the Biden administration. He would have come back to work the next day and dropped his cocaine bag in the mailbox and just had another day at the office.
He probably would have been promoted.
Just saying. All right, there you go. That's the news. Trump announces that Mike Waltz will be his ambassador to the United Nations. That's his confirmation pending still, but that's the news. Now the press doesn't know what to do because the press is all filled up with even Rolling Stone magazine. Trump celebrates his 100th day by firing people. Okay. Now, do we really have that? I don't know. But I do believe, in my opinion, Mike Waltz was probably asked to go take a different position. But we're not going to ruin your life, Mike. Just go do that. All right, listen, that's where we are right now. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back, and we'll jump on into Dipper number one, military-minded. I got some good stuff. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Shag Nasty the Atheist checking in. What's he saying? Shag Nasty says, maybe the worm in RFK's brain is whispering him ideas about how to spread parasites. Shag, at least try to be on topic, dude. Jeff from Indiana. Hey, Phil, Michael Waltz, I think he was chosen for the United Nations ambassador for two reasons, a demotion for what happened in the text message screw-up, and he's already went through the Senate confirmation so he can take the job immediately. I don't think he can take the job immediately. I think he has to be confirmed to the position, not just confirmed for a position. So I think he has to go through the confirmation process again, which is going to be interesting because then they'll talk to him all about Signalgate.
So if he does... Would he have to go through all those hearings, like the whole
If that's the case, I could be wrong, but if that's the case, I tell you what, why don't you look it up while I'm doing this? Will Michael Waltz have to be confirmed to UN ambassador? Chris from Gadsden checking in says, maybe you were in the position of Paul in Macedonia when he shut down the slave girl who had a spirit of divination. Oh, he's talking about when Brother Jim was preaching? I don't know, bro. I know it was a crazy story. Don't be calling my sweet little woman a hussy.
He will have to be confirmed by the Senate.
He will for that role. Yes. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, listen, let's jump on into some military-mindedness. So, you know the deal. This show is very military-centric. My own background, the number of veterans in the audience, the number of actual green suiters who are still on active duty in the audience. I got several things here to cover, some good, some not so good. I will say this, on the world stage, and I pulled this from AmericanMilitaryNews.com. I hold it in my calloused former paratrooper hands. Dateline yesterday. A new report shows that global military spending has increased by 9.4% since 2023, meaning the world is, number one, recognizing the need, and number two, there's a lot of fracasness going on. It's the highest increase in military spending since the Cold War, and the war between Russia and Ukraine and Israel and Hamas continues to add tensions that are probably fueling part of it. It says military spending increased in all world regions, with particularly rapid growth in Europe and the Middle East. The top five military spenders overall are who you'd expect: the United States, China, Russia, Germany, and India. That accounts for 60% of global totals, with combined spending of 16. Well, okay, I think that's trillions. We're in the trillions here. 1,600 billion would be in the trillions, right? Yes. Says over 100 countries around the world raised their military spending just last year. Now, that military spending, by the way, some of it is more pronounced in other places. That was the averaging. Look at some of the countries. Military spending in Germany increased by 28%. That's a huge increase. Romania by 43%. The Netherlands increased by 35%. Sweden, 34%. Czech Republic, 32%. Poland, which is, you know, on the border of Ukraine, increased by 31%. And there's several others like this. I'm looking at this, and the majority of these are NATO nations, or at the very least, Western nations with whom we have alliances. The only one that is, well, they're not, I take it back. They're technically an ally. They're technically a NATO member. So I need to correct myself. I was about to say Turkey. Turkey's just got problems. Turkey ain't right.
Turkey doesn't act like a NATO member.
Not act like a NATO member. Turkey, listen, I can remember, you know, deploying and having to fly through Incirlik, Turkey, and we had to stay inside because they didn't want us to be seen. I mean, come on. So, yeah, total military spending worldwide, way up, 9.4% overall. But in some nations, you're looking in the 30s and 40% increases. Is that a war footing? Not necessarily, but I think it's a very pragmatic view of the world. This is not a peaceful place. And military spending and peace through strength is back on the front burner right now. Now, having said that, here's a story I love. Because you heard me how many times over the past few years rail about the Biden administration's inability to manage personnel in the military. We were at 40-year lows on recruiting and retention. It was an epic fail. In fact, the only way they improved their numbers twice, I believe it was 23 and 24, the only way they improved their numbers was by lowering their goals. Well, we made 80% of our goal. No, actually, you made 67% of your goal until you lowered you moved the goalposts, and then you made 80%. But right now, we're seeing a massive increase, and that's huge. I've got a story. I tell you what, I'm gonna dig into this more when I get back from the break because I want to do it justice. But I've got a story here that two of them in a row actually that you ought to find pretty pleasing. If you're somebody who cares about recruiting, cares about retention, cares about the staffing of our U.S. military, then what I've got in my hands is absolutely worthy of me telling you about it. Got it straight off of army.mil. By the way, all these resources are available on the website, and you can get them just by going to rightsidemedia.org. And right underneath the live stream, you'll see all the resources. So if you hear me rattling paper, that link is going to be right there, so you can go get the same article if you want to. All right.
They're also in the newsletter as well.
They're in the newsletter as well. Thank you so much. Okay, listen, we're about to take a break. When we come back from the break, I got more on military mindedness. And it's not a little bit. It's a lot. And I would ask you to think about it. How are we posturing ourselves on the world stage? Is peace through strength real? I submit to you that it is. And the only way to have it is to actually have strength. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two. Don't forget, coming up bottom of this hour, we have some time with Butters and Lee. In the meantime, I'll be sticking with Dipper number one for a little bit, military-minded. You guys text it or call it, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. That's the number. That's right into the studio. JP answers the phone. By the way, I gotta step back to that thing about Waltz, Michael Waltz, no longer being the national security advisor. And of course, the liberal media, it just depends on who you're talking to. Liberal media, Trump, you know, ousts Michael Waltz. But, you know, then you turn around and go, okay, but he didn't also just like crush him and send him on his way, you know, with broken bones. He's been tapped to be the UN ambassador. It is still a shakeup. Let's put it this way, too. It's still a shakeup to the national security team, all right? And when you're only 100 days in, you don't make that kind of change if everything's going great, all right? If Michael Waltz is sitting in the position and things are grooving and Trump leans on him hard and needs his advice on everything and that's all going spotless, then you don't move the guy out because it's a key role in the national security team. So I would really say that Michael Waltz has been asked to step aside, but he's not being cast aside. So there's that. And I'll say this too. I really like the fact that Michael Waltz took ownership of this thing. When that thing came out with Signal, he literally got on the air on social media and put out a statement and said, "I accept complete responsibility for this. It came from my department." Well, good on you, sir. He may not have been the one who did it, but it happened on his watch. And so Michael Waltz out as NSA. The other piece of this story that I hadn't mentioned yet is that Marco Rubio, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, former senator, has been tapped by Trump to serve in dual role for the time being as the acting national security advisor and as Secretary of State. That clearly indicates that Trump thinks the world of Marco Rubio.
He's one of the members of the cabinet I've been most pleased with.
Rubio.
He's done amazing.
He's sharp as a tack. He always has been. All right, back to military minded. I got a real good one. So you remember all the stuff we had about the Biden administration just couldn't recruit. It was just so hard. You know, we just don't know if we're going to be able to meet our mission, so we'll have to lower the standards. Okay, and then we'll also lower the numbers we need, and then we still didn't make mission. How about this? This is a great article. Army.mil. This is the official Army website. Army.mil. The Army has recently surpassed its fiscal year 25 reenlistment goals by retaining 15,600 soldiers, 800 more than their target. So they exceeded their goals for reenlistment. That's people who have, because we've been burning through soldiers, y'all. We've been burning through service members from all the branches. Just like, they're just like jumping out left and right. Well, what this means is you got more than you had anticipated, more than you had hoped for, are reenlisting to stay in because they like what they're seeing. That's a huge deal. Retention is massive. Recruiting is certainly good. You need the ground floor guys, right? You need the base entry private first class. But yeah, what you really need too are those sergeants. You know, those E6s, E7s, E8s who have been in for a while and got more to offer, because their leadership and their legacy knowledge is huge. So yeah, the U.S. Army just recently surpassed all of its fiscal year 25 reenlistment goals, and folks, they're only halfway through the year. That's amazing. Says the early success in FY25 reenlistments combined with the targeted retention strategy is helping the Army to effectively manage personnel. So yeah, that's the other thing. Retention has been met. The Army has also reached 85% already on its recruiting goals. So 6 months into the fiscal year, am I right in saying that? Yeah, roughly 6 months into the fiscal year, you've got the Army is already at 85% of recruiting mission and over 100% of retention. Can I get some applause on that? Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, Mama. Thank you very much. Thank you. That does not happen because the Biden administration, this is like the southern border, right? The Biden administration can't say, well, we put the things in place to help Trump get those numbers. Bull crap. You destroyed the numbers. You were crushing the numbers. You were destroying the U.S. military the same way you destroyed the U.S. border. Trump put the border back in place, and Trump's putting the military back in place. Outstanding. Next story I got, and this one is for our veterans. Military.com. Phil, did you go to military.com? I did. Liberal rag. But I do. I go to these places so you don't have to. So the chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee has now asked the Justice Department to investigate the former VA Secretary Dennis McDonough, who served under Biden. Why? I'll summarize. I won't just read the article to you. The end result is the VA under Biden came back over the last 2 years saying that it had a multi-billion dollar shortfall in its budget and it needed supplemental appropriations. And so they got some of them. And now what they're finding out is maybe they lied. What? Yes. So the suggestion is that senior VA officials submitted materially inaccurate funding requests, failed to disclose critical budget information and testimony for Congress, and letters that were written by the former VA secretary, and delays in informing Congress about their funding needs warrant immediate and independent review by your office, says Representative Mike Bost, Republican from Illinois. All right, so what he's saying is they came to us saying they didn't have enough money. They finished the year with money in the bank. So what that basically tells us is you lied or you did a horrible job. That's going to be interesting. All I know is this. They got some additional supplemental funds, and still they were so filled up with DEI and everything else they were doing that veterans were not getting the care they needed. That's changing, and I'm glad of it. Next one on the list, military-minded. So have you heard? Which one do I want first? I'll take this one. Have you ever heard, JP, of the Roosevelt Reservation?
No, I have not.
Well, I don't know what kind of school you went to, because I certainly never heard of it either. The Roosevelt Reservation, for reasons I don't fully understand, was put in place by President Teddy Roosevelt. It's a 60-foot wide, literally 60 feet. It's like half as wide as a football field. 60-foot wide strip of land that stretches from California, Arizona, and New Mexico. It's like, it's almost like the United States government has an easement that runs the length of the border of Mexico. Very novel approach here. We talked about it once on the show already. The Trump administration decided in early April they were going to designate that as military reservation. So it's no longer just like a dedicated strip of federal land. Now it's a military installation, meaning the U.S. military can patrol it. The U.S. military can enforce its, you know, passage across it. And by and large, it just becomes like going to Redstone Arsenal. You gotta, if you're not supposed to be there, you're not supposed to be there. So
nice. That's actually putting stuff we have to use. Amazing.
So the U.S. military just made 28 arrests of illegals trying to cross through the Roosevelt Reservation just in New Mexico in the last week.
Nice.
So we're patrolling it like we patrol any other military installation. And so what it does also, too, is entering the country illegally is commonly a misdemeanor charge with potential for 6 months in jail and $5,000 in fines. But the addition of the new misdemeanor charge of trespassing in the military zone adds up to a year in jail plus another $100,000 fine. It is somewhat of a deterrent, shall we say.
Just a little bit.
You can also put a fence up there and Congress can't say boo about it. Just saying. Last story on military-minded. Why is it the Osprey always seems to be in trouble? The V-22 Osprey. It's the tilt rotor aircraft that looks like an airplane until all of a sudden both the engines on one on each wing tilt up and it flies like a helicopter. It can lift. It can do straight vertical lift. It's a troop carrier. It's fast. It gets up into altitude, spins those rotors forward, flies like an airplane, tilts them up, lands on a dime. Except there have been multiple occasions in which there were losses of life due to inefficiencies or mechanical failures on V-22 Ospreys. I won't say it's a complete waste. It's actually a very cool aircraft. It's more than concept proven. But once again, Ospreys are grounded. So I got a story here from DefenseOne.com, Dateline yesterday. The U.S. military's fleet of V-22 Ospreys won't be able to fly without restrictions until the year 2026. I mean, well, let's hope we don't need them in combat in the meantime. Let's hope those units that were rebranded as V-22 Osprey units as opposed to Blackhawks, let's hope that they've got something going on besides just hanging out in the motor pool and, you know, playing cards. But it turns out they had a gearbox issue where the steel was not strong enough. Why is that, by the way? It's supposed to be made to specs that give it the ability to withstand the most stressful conditions that can be ever applied to an aircraft. Combat. You're being shot at. You're flying at high speeds. You're taking immediate evasive action. You're landing in rough terrain. All these things have to be accounted for. Oh, by the way, at the same time, you're flying in tight formation with lots of other aircraft sometimes. Well, The military put limitations on Osprey flights after a crash killed 8 airmen in 2023. And the investigation found that the aircraft's prop rotor gearbox, so we're looking at a 3-year, like basically just 3 years of the Osprey not being fully functional. And I don't know what the end state of that's going to be, but it needs to get worked out. I have run long. Would you ask my caller if he'd mind holding on during the break? I've got to take the break right now or we're going to be really off cycle. So we'll come back and get that call right after this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Going right to the phones because he held on during the break, and I appreciate it. Sparky from Harvest. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, awesome. Three things. Number one, listening to your show last few weeks when JP filled in for you and ran the show, knocked it out of the park. Fantastic.
Outstanding.
Very, thank you, Sparky.
Very entertaining, coherent, wonderful. Two, my granddaughter, who's within a couple weeks of graduating electronic technician training of the Great Lakes Naval Base. She says they're running day and night shift. They literally have all the AIT schools with a full day shift, and then they turn around and have instructors teaching the curriculum at night. I don't know if that's a normal thing, but she says things are getting busy.
Wow, that's awesome.
And third thing, there was some... Oh, as a post-military... test pilot friend this last year went down to the panhandle with some people on an information exchange, and they've got to fly on the B-22 Osprey.
Yeah, yeah.
he said it beat them to death. I mean, you ever ever rode in a helicopter with a rotor blade was out of track and balance?
Yeah.
And the pilots were like, well, no, that's how this is. This is as good as it gets. And I'm thinking, how can you life the components of something that shakes that hard? It kind of blew my mind.
When you read the article I just had in my hands a moment ago, I mean, they literally talk about how the metal is having to be reconstituted because they did not use the version of steel fabrication that was the strongest. And I'm thinking, why?
I don't know. I've flown in and around those things, and I've done testing. Test flying when I was still flying down by Eglin Hurlburt, and had him go by, and it just kind of blew my mind. What an awkward machine that is.
They are, and let me ask you this though. My recollection is they at top speed when they're flying with rotors forward, they are faster than a Blackhawk. Am I right?
Oh yeah, incredibly. Yeah. I don't know if they do 300 miles an hour, but they go way up in the 200s, and that's a. You know, cause when everything's working right, those Marines deserve the best, and God bless them. It'll get them from here to there awful quick when everything's working. But,
yeah.
Boy, I hope they fix the problems with that machine. Well, the Army's coming on board with our next gen. I forgot what it's called exactly, but our next gen tilt rotor is designed to replace the Blackhawk by 2031 as a Bell product, and it's smaller and sleeker than the Osprey. I've watched some test flights on the videos of that one. That seems like a pretty stupid machine.
Well, we'll wait and see. I mean, I expect there to be innovations. You know, the future of warfare will not look like the original, and I get it. But it just seems like the Osprey has been plagued from day one with, and it's not been all operator error or combat. It's been like mechanical failures, and that's just like been throughout its entire life.
Yeah, in the life cycle of military acquisitions, there's a sliding scale. Down on the bottom end is the Sergeant York anti-aircraft gun, and on the other end of just sleek success, I guess, the Black Hawk helicopter. But I think the Osprey is sort of on the – it's a lot closer to the Sergeant York than it is the Black Hawk.
Yeah. I think the one that probably outlasts them all is the Browning M2 50 caliber machine gun, been around for over 100 years.
Absolutely. Hey, great show, Phil.
Thanks, brother. See you. Sparky from Harvest. Thanks for your service, man, in case you're still listening. All right. So, listen, we're going to come back here in a minute, and we got some Butters and Lee that we'll be jumping into. And you can imagine some of the topics. But we're going to probably get some opinions from the Butters and the Lee about whether or not they think that – I'm giving away the question early. Was Michael Waltz fired, or was he just put off to the side, or was it because they just couldn't have him anymore because, you know, he wasn't trusted, or what? Or for that matter, is it a lateral move? I don't know. Got a question from Flip from Priceful real quick on the text lines. He says, can Rubio hold the two positions for an extended period of time, or is there time to find someone else? Yeah, he can hold it for as long as he needs to because he's in an interim capacity. He's not designated as the full time. So he will be able to be read in on the things that the NSA, but he probably already was, and he'll be able to hold that position as long as necessary.
I was gonna say, I feel like a lot of that stuff overlaps anyways. Yeah, I feel like Rubio, a lot of what he does overlaps with, you know, Waltz and Hexeth, what they were doing anyways. So
I would agree.
I don't think it would be too much of a load for him to carry, but I wouldn't want him to do that for his whole 4 years.
Especially when you consider that the hot button issues right now for Secretary of State are going to be things like Ukraine negotiations, yep, and peace in Israel, what's going on with Iran and the Houthis, all of that is still part of Secretary of State's purview also, so he's going to be in the mix. All right, coming right back. You guys stay tuned. We'll have some Butters and Lee. We'll be right back.